That's when the fight begins. But it's the fight of faith. And faith is what? The victory. It's not the defeat. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, the God of this world, that little rat with a megaphone. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. Who's he quoting? He's quoting David in Psalm 116, where David said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. What did he speak? Well, you go back to verse 8. Verse 8 says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Three things. Has God delivered you, your soul from death? Has he delivered your eyes from tears? Has he delivered you from stumbling around? You know what? If we believe that God has delivered our soul from death, then we ought to start talking that way. We ought to start talking the fact that that was past and now I'm here. And God says we. The Apostle Paul said we. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. David had that spirit of faith. We can't doubt that. He ran out after Goliath, didn't he? Ran out. The guy was fearless. His brothers started to embarrass him and encourage him. Discourage him and say, you know, I get out of here. You know, they tried to put him down. He says, no. If I kill this guy, what happens? He says, well, you know, your house will be tax exempt for the rest of your life. That's good. You'll get the king's daughter. That's good. Well, it didn't turn out that way, but. And then he had to get another wife, which is an Old Testament concept, by the way. Doesn't fit in the New Testament. But David was a man of faith, and then he ran out against a giant with a sling and a stone. Knocked him to the ground, took out his own sword. You know, any weapon that the devil forms against you, you can use against him. Goliath represented Antichrist. He represented the devil himself in that. He was a picture of that. And he took out that devil's sword and cut off his head. You can do the same thing. Sickness and disease is a product of this world. It's a product of the fall. It's a product, it's a byproduct of sin. It's a byproduct of the fallen nature. We're going to get into a few of these things. But David said, what did he said, you delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Or stumbling, the King James says. From stumbling. Do you have that Psalm 116:8? John? Here it is. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. And then in verse 8, it says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. What did Jesus say? He said in John chapter 8, verse 12, we don't have it here, but he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. You won't stumble. You won't fall because he'll keep your feet from falling. Amen. Has he delivered your eyes from tears? The grief of this world, the hopelessness of this world. You were without hope and without God in this world before Jesus came into your life. That song that Phil wrote this morning, without Jesus, I know what my life was without Jesus. And I know what it was, what it's become with Jesus. And I'm telling you, I'll take Jesus any day. Oh, you can have this whole world. Give me Jesus. Yeah, amen. So, the spirit of faith declares the desired result. It doesn't talk about the problems. Do you have the spirit of faith? What spirit is that? The same spirit of faith. That same spirit is the spirit, the Holy Spirit. He is the spirit of faith. That spirit was in Jesus, upon Jesus. That spirit spoke faith. Everything Jesus ever did, he did by faith. How do I know that? Well, it says in Romans chapter 14, it says that whatever is not of faith is sin. And we know that Jesus never sinned. Amen? So, everything he ever did was by faith. That's the way he does everything. And you have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. This is a we. You have the same spirit of faith that the Apostle Paul had. You had the same spirit of faith that David had. You have the same Holy Spirit. You have the same spirit of faith as God has. It's God's faith. Amen? So it's God's faith, and that spirit dwells in you. And when you speak faith, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. And brother, it comes to pass. When you speak in faith, it'll come to pass. Bible says in Mark 11:23, that whosoever shall think about that mountain. No. Whosoever shall say to that mountain, be thou removed. Remember, this door swings on two hinges. Believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. What you believe is what you speak. Whether it's doubt or unbelief, that's a form of faith too. Doubt and unbelief is a form of faith. And there are people who are speaking that, saying that they're the ones who are going to get the flu. They're the ones who are going to get the COVID. They're the ones who are going to be sick. They're the one, whenever it comes around, I'll be that one to get in that car wreck. And they're prophesying their own doom, because sooner or later they will have what they say. The devil will make sure of that. That's why he tries to get your tongue and get you to speak doubt, fear, unbelief. Symptom shows up in your body. You say, oh boy. And within 10 seconds, your mind is running with it. And your worst case scenario, what the doctor says, and as if the doctor is God. Look, doctors go by their instruments, and those instruments are pretty accurate. But you have a greater witness in the Word of God. So what do you, if you have the same spirit of faith, what are you speaking when symptoms show up in your body? Hello. You guys out there?
Yes.
Really? I mean, this is important. I want you to know. Let's look at that graphic, John. This is what the devil sees when you start speaking faith. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That includes diseases, calamities, accidents, whatever the devil... Nothing shall hurt you. All things are working out together for good. For the whatever I say will come to pass, because Mark 11:23 says, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, believe, say, and not doubt. Believe, say, and not doubt. Believe, say, and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. Isaiah 54:17. What does that say? Somebody help me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And, well, you got to remember, in the Old Testament, it was a little different. People are not your enemy in the New Testament. It's the devils that drive them. It's the demons that drive them. That's the enemy. That's where our battle is. It's not natural or carnal. Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes we are healed. That was looking forward to the cross. Peter, looking back to the cross, as we read earlier today, was... by whose stripes we were healed. In the mind of God, it's done. Amen. So today in our series, we're talking about faith to receive healing. You know, it takes the same amount of faith to get healed from cancer as it does to get saved. It's the same faith. It works the same way. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Same, same, same. Now, also, let's remind ourselves too, this year, 2021, God promised us this is a year of restoration. And we're going to be talking about health and healing, divine health and divine healing. You know, why would that be so out of reach? Has Jesus changed? On what day did God change his name from Jehovah Rapha to maybe? You know what Jehovah Rapha means? It's the Hebrew, it's a compound redemptive word in Hebrew. It means Jehovah Rapha, or actually Yahweh Rapha. And it means the Lord who heals us. The Lord, our healer. That's his name. He never changed it. Men did. And they said, well, God will put something on you to teach you. God will, you know, we have laws in this country against child abuse and fathers who would break their kids' legs to teach them something. So you think God would put some calamity in your life or destroy or try to come against you to try to teach you? He gave you the Holy Ghost to teach you. Yes. That's who your teacher is. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, not calamities. We gotta stop looking out here and drawing all of our leading and direction from out here and start getting that leading from in here, from the Word of God when it gets in your spirit. That's where you need to be led from. Because you get out here in all this, you're getting out to where the God of the world, this world will deceive you and lead you into all kinds of things. But the inner witness is the greater witness. We're going to talk about three things today. We're going to talk about knowing that our healing is included in our covenant. It's part of our redemption. Why is that? Why is it included? Why do we have this fight, this struggle with our health and things? Why does that? Because your body has not been redeemed yet. Your mind and your emotions, your soul has not been redeemed yet, but your spirit has been. Your spirit has been totally recreated, but your body hasn't been. So he put provisions in the new covenant for physical healing, for mental and emotional healing, inner healing. Your spirit doesn't need any healing. Your spirit is wall to wall, Holy Ghost. Your spirit is a new creation. You are. You know, if your body died right now, you would go to heaven, right? Okay, anybody not going there? Okay, we've got that settled. Good, all right, we're on the same train. Are you sure? Okay, then if you're sure about that, you can be just as sure that it's God's will to heal you. There should be no question in your mind about that. You say, well, really? Then why do people die of sickness? You know, and we're healed. Did you hear what Dwight just said? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. They don't know what's in their covenant. They have no idea that God has already set these things in there. And when you don't know it, that ignorance, you don't have any tools to work with. But if you know that it's God's will for you to be healed of everything all the time, that you can walk in divine health, then you will know something. You'll have some ammunition to stand up and say, you get out of my body. You are illegally in my body. Get out. I do not give you permission to get in this temple of God. And I'm enforcing his word in my body right now. You leave in Jesus' name. Talk to it. Jesus talked to a tree. Talk to the flu. Talk to those feelings. Talk to an upset stomach. Talk to a headache. Talk to it. Try. You know, do that. But too many people, the first initial reaction is to go for the medicine cabinet. And all the medicine can do is mask the symptoms. They can't take care of it. God says, Lord, what is it? You bore my pains. You bore my guilt, my pains. Lord, I give that to you right now in the name of Jesus. That's where you need to, he needs to be your first Lord. It is included in our covenant with God. Number two is know what the will of God is concerning healing. Number three is know about faith and unbelief, that they oppose each other. We'll get into that in a minute. Where do sickness and disease come from? Who's the author of it? That's right. How do we overcome sickness and disease? So let's talk about the first thing. Healing is included in our redemption. Redemption has several meanings in the Bible. One of those meanings is that it is a payment of a ransom. Deliverance upon the payment of a ransom. Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He ransomed you. He paid the price. He bought you out from under sin and all of the fallout. And I'm going to say this too. Whether you realize this or not, there was only one sin that was standing between God and man. And that was Adam's treason. That's what led the floodgate of this thing in. Adam's treason was pure treason. There's no way around that. He was the one who had the keys of everything. He was the first lord of this earth. He was a magnificent, powerful son of God, the Bible says. But he sold out. And as he sold out, all of the unborn human race that was still in his loins was sold out to the devil. And that's you and me. We needed a Savior and we got one. And man, did he do it magnificently. But there was only one sin standing between God and man, and that was Adam's sin. The rest is just fallout. And that's what we're dealing with here. So if your symptoms, if your sickness or your disease, we're going to talk about the root cause of that. Sometimes it's sin in your life. Sometimes it's just the demonic attacks. And sometimes it's just natural things. We'll know the difference in just a little while. So know that healing is included in your redemption means a deliverance upon payment of a ransom. Mark 10:45, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. We need to know that ransom's been paid and we have been redeemed from that. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now that's an old English way of saying he was chastised for our sin so that we could receive his peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. You know, I'm going to do this. Turn to Acts 23. Sometimes you just got to change tracks when the Holy Spirit says, do that. Acts 23. I think what we need to know here is the importance of the stripes of Jesus. And how that pertains to our healing. Okay, Acts 22, I finally made a mistake. Acts 22, Paul was about ready to get beaten again. 5 times he took the 39 stripes. I don't know how the guy was still walking. I know how he did. Because he had the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. He also believed and spoke. Amen. So, it says this. There was a riot, and wherever Paul went, there was either a riot or revival. And in verse 24 of Acts 22, it says, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade him examine him by scourging. That's the 39 lashes. They would scourge him, ask him some questions. They would examine him by scourging, that he might know why all these people were rioting against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the... What happened is they took thongs and they were stretching him around the post. They were going to beat him, all right? Paul said something. He said, Is it lawful for you to scourge a Roman, a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? I haven't had a hearing. I am a Roman citizen. See, what you got to understand is back in those days, citizenship for Rome meant everything. It was everything. If they found a body on the side of the road dead on a Monday morning, all they would check to see if this guy had some mark on him that he was a Roman. If he wasn't, he was worse than a dog. If he was a Roman, he had rights, he had family, whatever, we have to see after this. Citizenship meant everything. Right? Now, what does it say? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain. See, this will tell you how demons operate. He went to the big demon, the big chief captain, and said, take heed what you do, for this man's a Roman. In other words, you can enforce your rights as a citizen of heaven. You say, devil, this is illegal. You are illegally in my body. Amen? And then the chief captain came out. Now, he came out and said to Paul, he said, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yeah. And the chief captain answered and said, well, with a great sum I obtained this freedom. In other words, he paid for his citizenship, which gave him the freedoms and the privileges of a Roman citizen. He says, and it was almost like taking out a mortgage. You were paying this thing the rest of your life, unless you had the money. The chief captain, with a great sum I obtained, and Paul said, I was born free. Were you born again? Were you born into the kingdom of heaven? Were you born a citizen of heaven? Then you have rights and privileges guaranteed by the new covenant, and health and healing is among them. It belongs to you. It's not something you have to try to get from God. He's already given it to you. It belongs to you. That woman with the issue of blood, she came up and took it. She took that heal. He had nothing to do with that. All he was doing was walking along. Virtue came out of him. And that woman took it from him. She took it. Now, look at this. He said, I was born free. I was free born. And straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. That's the scourger, examine him by scourging. And the chief captain also was afraid. You know, you can put demons to fear. You can put demons to flight just by saying the truth. Those words with those bullets with the word on them that I showed you earlier, that graphic, that's what the devil sees when you start speaking the word of God on your own behalf. You have an advocate with the Father in heaven. He is saying, just say my word. When you say his word and he says that it has power in it, and he's already agreed to everything in here. Now, Jesus took those stripes on the whipping post. Again, if he just wanted to forgive us our sins, he would have just gone to the cross. That whipping post was for a reason. By his stripes, you were what? Healed. By those stripes, you were healed. If you read Deuteronomy 28, you will see the blessing of the law, the blessing of Abraham, which is verses 1 through 14. And then 15 through 68 is the curse of the law. And in verse 61 in particular, it says, and every other sickness and disease that is not mentioned in here is also under the curse of the law. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. All sickness and disease. The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, all sickness and disease is because of sin. It may not be your particular sin. It may be the backlash of a fallen world of sin. It may be natural things like germs and viruses that are in the air because we live in a fallen world. But the devil is still the author of that, and there's still redemption from that if you know who you are in Christ and what God says about it. Amen? When Jesus took those stripes, he paid for all of your disobediences. Every one of them. The devil has nothing to accuse you with any longer. legally and legitimately, he took every disease that the devil could ever throw at you. He paid for it in full. So now you don't have to receive it. It's been paid for. If God was putting a disease on you, he would be working against his own redemption. He would have to destroy himself. Because that disease, that sickness was paid for in full by the stripes of Jesus. The defense rests. It's true. This is true. And this will light you up. Next time some symptoms comes on you, you're going to have a lot more ammunition. Like a Gatling gun coming. Get out of my body. That pull the pin from the... Yeah, healing come. And it comes, healing. Now, when you pray for healing, don't pray for God to heal you. Why would you do that? He's already given it to you. Amen. Say, Father, I receive my healing. That's what that woman did with the issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. 12 days would have been long. 12 months would have been long. 12 years, she spent everything. She was broke. She was not allowed to be in public around people because of that, according to the law of Moses. But yet, she heard of Jesus. She heard about him. And when she heard about him, faith started coming up in her. You know, I've spent everything I had. I've done everything I can to get rid of this thing. And it's still clinging to me. Everything I've done. Everything. Now this guy is healing multitudes. He's healing people. He's opening blind eyes. Surely there's something for me. And she started speaking to herself, if I can get close enough to just touch his garment, I know I'll be healed. I know it. She was beyond her head, what she couldn't get. She knew what she could get if she could just get close enough to touch his garments. She did four things. Four things this woman did. And Brother Hagin used to say, if you do these four things, you will get healed every single time. Isn't that good? That should have been a bigger amen than that. Because this is the pattern of the word of life. And the word is medicine to all your flesh. She said it. What does she do? Did she start talking about, this blood thing, you know, this issue of blood that I'm in? No. She started speaking the desired result. She started speaking what will happen if she touches his garment. She started laying this whole thing out. Her mind was being renewed with this. It was getting in line with what was going on in her heart, the faith that was there. And she started speaking what she was believing. She said it. She wasn't speaking the problem anymore. She was speaking the desired result. Number two, she did it. She did what her faith was telling her to do. Despite the fact she could be stoned for being out in public, despite all of that, they all knew her. They all knew what was happening, and she pushed her way through that crowd. And what'd she do? She did what she said she was going to do. She touched his garment. Every time you open up the Word of God, you are opening up His garment. You are touching His garment. You are touching His availability. His Word is life. His Word is medicine to all your flesh. Touch it. Touch it. Let it touch you. Then she received it. We've been over this definition of receive many, many times, haven't we? Receive is the word take. It means literally to take. What things soever you desire, when praying, believe you take it and you shall have it. It's taking. You're taking what has already been given. It's not you're forcing God to, you're not taking from God. He's already given it to you. You're taking it because it belongs to you. There's a whole big difference there. Christianity has spent too much time begging God to do something he's already done. And that's why people don't get healed. It's because what Dwight shared there, it's ignorance of what the Word of God says. Look, if God fills a pool with water and you say, oh, I'm so hot, can you just put water on me? Well, just fall into the pool. Oh, no, but can you dump it on me? He's already filled the pool with water. All you got to do is get in. He's already provided healing. All you got to do is take it. It's ignorance that stops us, that prevents us. She received it. She took it. This is aggressive faith. Faith is aggressive. Look at the life of David. Faith is aggressive. It hasn't changed. Look at the life of Paul, a man of faith. It was aggressive. And then she told it. She told him all the truth. When he felt virtue go out of him, he stopped. And then his eyes fell on her. And she came and told him all the truth. She said, I've had this disease. I've spent everything. I am broke. I have no money anymore. I have nowhere else to go. I heard about you, Lord, and I came to you, and I went to take what you have to give me. And I felt that I was healed of that plague. Something happened inside of me. And, you know, he said, well, I felt it too. Why did he call her out? It was his love and his mercy for this woman, because now he was declaring her clean. She could go and be with her friends. She could go once again and be accepted into the number in her community as an upright, whole woman because she met Jesus. Stripes were paid. Don't just ask God to heal you. Come and take what he's provided. Legally, it belongs to you. It's a legal transaction. You are a citizen of heaven, and as such, you have privileges and rights. I'm going to close by just sharing a few scriptures with you. 17 times in the Gospels, it talks about how Jesus healed all of their sicknesses and all of their diseases. In Matthew, you can just write these down. I didn't record them. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. This is called the overflow. It overflowed out of Israel and into Syria. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and they who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Again, the implication is he healed them all. Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. There's been a lot of controversy on Isaiah 53:5 and what that means. Well, the Holy Spirit already translated that for us into infirmities and sicknesses. He took those. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 12:15, and when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. All. Chapter 14, verse 14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. The implication is there, he healed them all. In chapter 14, verse 34 through 36, when he had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and when the men had of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31. And great multitudes came to him, having with them lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speak, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Something that brought glory to God is not of the devil. How can people say that? You know, healing, everybody wants to be whole. Everybody wants to be healed. I mean, it's a basic human desire to be whole and to be healthy and to have no pain and to feel good. I mean, it's basic. And people who like sickness are mentally sick. Yet, religion tells you that it's God who makes you sick to teach you something. Or God allows, that's a big one. Oh, he allowed this. No. That's wrong. If it was an attack of the enemy, call it an attack of the enemy. Don't say God allowed it. There are many things that we allow in our life without realizing it. We have no idea. Ignorance, right? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And what you ignore and ignore and ignore, you become ignorant. It's not so much ignoring, it's ignorance because of ignoring. What we ignore, we become ignorant of. I don't know which way I want to go right now. Know that healing is included in your covenant. It has been paid for. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. It's yours. Know what the will of God is concerning healing. Turn to Luke chapter 5. I was going to close with the others, but I'll close with this. Luke chapter 5. In verse 12, and it says, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Now, this is the end stages of leprosy. This is the end stages of cancer or whatever. The end stages. You know, Jesus is never late. And it came to pass, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. This man had a question going on in his mind. He knew that God could heal him. He knew that God had the power to heal him. He said, if you can. But he didn't know the will of God. Once he knew the will of God, he had faith to receive. Once he knew that Jesus said, I will, now he knew. Faith begins where the will of God is revealed or known. And in this case, not knowing the will of God, he saw the power of God. You know, you can know that God can heal anybody, but that's not going to heal you. Did you know that? You're not going to get healed just because you know that God is almighty, or God is powerful, or God never lied. You can know all that stuff and you won't get healed. But when you know that he will heal you, when it is his will for you to be totally whole and healed, when you settle that question, you will have the faith that takes that healing that he's already provided for you. And you'll walk in it. Kenneth Hagin got off that bed. He was almost totally paralyzed. And he had read Mark 11, 23. And read it, and read it, and read it, and read it from Grandma's Methodist Bible. And he said he was healed. He said, okay, then I'm going to say it. And he started getting a little bit of light, a little bit of revelation. And he started saying it. Then I'm healed. One day, it was 10 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit said, do you believe you're healed? He goes, yes, Lord. He says, well, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, people don't have any business in bed. He's totally paralyzed at this point. He says, okay, Lord. It took him a full hour and a half to get his legs out of that bed. And when it hit, and they hit the floor like cordwood. I mean, just boom, like that. When his feet hit the floor, it was like a bucket of honey just dripped on him. And he felt the power of God, the sweetest power, the sweetest touch he'd ever felt in his life, just go from right from his head all the way down to his feet. And he's standing up in the room, Granny! Granny! Come here! And she came in and she couldn't believe that he was standing up. In his condition, nobody lived past 16. Mayo Clinic wouldn't even take him. Nobody lived past 16 years old in his condition. And he was 16 years old. When you take God at his word and you start to put your feet on his word because he said so, the power of God will be released in your life. It's that simple. Faith that overcomes. We're not talking about faith that underachieves. we're talking about faith that overcomes all the adversity, all the pressures of life, and it, faith to receive healing. Everybody say this. I take my healing. It belongs to me. It's mine. God gave it to me. You know, if God gave the land of Israel to the Jews, what's healing? He's given you the very best he's ever had in his own son. Why with him wouldn't he give you everything that pertains unto life and godliness and everything that's yours? He's already bought it for you, packed it together, said, here, come, it's yours. Take it, receive it, take it, walk in it, receive it, believe it, stand on it. For too long, the church has been on the wrong side. We've been on this side of the cross begging God to do stuff for us. It's time to go through to the other side, to the resurrection life, and receive the power of who he has made you to be and walk in it. It's done. It's finished. It's cooked. It's ready to eat. Come to the table in the presence of your enemies and feast and just do it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, let's stand up.